Stop. Stop. Stop.
Yeah, we did.
No, you do not give me a countdown.
Why not?
When I signed my contract with my agent, he did not say anything about fucking countdowns.
No, but you've talked about countdowns.
I've never said the word countdown before in my entire life.
I shall clip you saying this and then clip all the moments you've talked about countdowns if I ever take the time to go back through all of our episodes.
Fake news.
No fake news here.
Welcome back, everybody.
Hi.
As you can hear, I'm doing a little bit better. Still a little sick, but that's okay. Not as terrible as it was. But we are Soul of a Gamer. I'm Scott.
And I'm Steven.
And every week we play a game, we tell you about it. Yeah. So we hope you enjoyed our last week's game.
Yes. The Cassette Beast, yeah.
Yep, Cassette Beasts.
Pokemon. As but I kept saying wrongly all the entire episode.
But Cassette Beast was really fun. That was a really innovative game. Crazy that two guys just made that. And
seriously, two British boys.
Had some helpers come in every once in a while. That's really interesting. But this week we're going with a classic kind of with Ratchet and Clank.
We are doing the 2016 reimagining PS4 edition.
Yeah, which is... I never played the original, so I guess I don't know the difference, and I'm sure there is a difference, but for now, I'm just going to think it's the same as the original.
There is definitely a difference, and we'll hear more about it in our reviews a little bit of some of the differences, and you can kind of see what people say about the differences.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's just get right into this. Before we do, actually, remember, guys... If you need to email us, soulofagamer@gmail.com, and our website, soulofagamerpodcast.com. Please check that out. Refer any games that that you'd like us to play, because seriously, we're always taking suggestions. So
we did get one suggestion on Spotify, which also at the end of every Spotify episode, if you listen to us on there, there is a poll that comes out that asks you that question. You can put your answers of what games you want on there as well. We will look at those every week, and we will let you know if we are going to play that game or not.
Sweet. Yes. So we got a suggestion on there, so everyone just start doing that.
Yes, we do.
All right, guys, let's just jump right into this then.
What's on the box?
All right, box for this... Pretty good. I mean, it really highlights Ratchet and Clank. It does the kind of the floating head thing that a lot of movie posters do. That's kind of really lackluster.
It's in the background. It's like what do I want to say? Who did this? There's a famous one that does this. But yeah, you're right. A lot of movies fucking do this. And games
Marvel
did it back
does
in
it the
day.
Most.
Yeah, you always see the backing characters in the background. Mm-hmm. And the main character just kind of standing in front of all the characters, looking in a direction in the foreground.
Yeah. I mean, it very much just shows it's Ratchet and Clank game. I always saw those characters, got excited for another Ratchet and Clank game. I was always a big fan of the series, so.
Yeah. And the one thing I really liked about the Ratchet and Clank box, which really, I know it's not big, but it's interesting enough to drag your attention, that and...
Yes.
It's just weird. It's like a fucking...
backwards $3 sign kind of thing.
Well, yeah, it's the classic and. It's the ampersand. Ampersand, yeah.
Yep.
But it's the fact that it's inside of a gear.
Yeah.
I love that. It's just fucking cool. And then the clank is a gear, too.
Yep.
That was a really cool idea.
Well, and it's a mechanic that uses a wrench as a weapon for most of the beginning of every one of these games and throughout all of his melee. So just a very interesting thing and very, very reminiscent of Jak and Daxter. I think PlayStation really wanted this buddy comedy duo to be the thing that they did for a lot of games.
I would say better than Jak and Daxter did, but we'll get into that a little bit later. Continue with the back. What's the back look like?
All right, back of the box, we got action, gadgets, weird aliens. Join one of the... What?
Come? I think it says cum, too.
Yeah, totally. It talks about alien cum. So yep. Be fair warned. This is a definitely E for everyone game that talks about cum.
Yeah. Well, PG. Why is it PG?
Oh, because they also did the tie-in movie with this, so I'm guessing they just did PG for both boxes.
All right. Yeah. That's weird.
I don't know. I saw two different boxes for this. One ties in with the movie, and it's like, the game, adapted from the movie, adapted from the game. And I was like, oh, God.
Adapted from a childhood dream.
Seriously. Join one of the galaxy's greatest double acts in a brand new game that retells the adrenaline-charged tale of how they first came together. Whether you're a longtime fan or new to the series, get ready for an action-filled, gadget-fueled ride as Ratchet & Clank's origin story is reborn on PS4. Nice. Ratchet reimagined, enjoy classic gameplay, brought bang up to date with a fresh, deeper storyline inspired by the new Ratchet & Clank animated movie. Jaw-dropping graphics, prepare to be blown away by the adventure that looks just as good as the big screen movie itself.
I guess. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, the box is good. It's not great by any means. It's fine the way it is. Don't change it. It doesn't need any more.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, it's a box. I appreciate that there is a box, so.
True. Which, I mean, like I said, I always saw these characters, and if you're a fan of this franchise at all, like, and honestly, the characters are really cool design. I love the Ratchet and Clank looks.
Yeah.
So
Clank looks very, like, common, I guess? Like,
yeah.
Like, you almost expect a little bit more flourish, but I do like the simplified Clank rather than, like, a flourish Clank.
Yeah, he's like a mini, like a baby Groot version of the Iron Giant.
Yeah, pretty much. That's almost exactly what he looks like as the Iron Giant.
Yeah.
All right, well, that was the box, so let's just move on.
Yeah. Are we damn? All right, so what can you tell us about the sound and audio?
Okay, well, the sound, the composer. I couldn't open my notes, guys, so I'm reading directly from Wikipedia. So the plot will be directly from Wikipedia again, too. Sorry about that. We have composer Michael Bros, who honestly did a great fucking job. Like, the music in this rocked. It was not rocked, but it was very good. It wasn't too loud. It wasn't too soft. There were some good, fun moments in there. It really did play up exactly how you thought it should.
True.
When and where you were.
Yeah.
Then some of the actors in here, we have James Arnold Taylor as Ratchet, David Kaye as Clank. And I wonder if David Kaye is related to the famous Kaye.
I don't
remember, like, White Christmas and all those movies from back in the day.
Yeah.
The other guy in those movies was usually the other K. I can't remember his name now.
I can't either.
But I wonder if they're related. That'd be cool if they were. Jim Ward as Quark. Bella Thorne as Cora. Rosario Dawson as Alaris. And Rosario Dawson, I think she's been in a couple games we've played.
Yeah, well, and just awesome movies.
Movies in general, but I'm pretty sure she's been in some other games we played too, so she's kind of like an alum at this point.
Yep.
Paul Giamatti as Chairman Drek, and it's just funny that Paul Giamatti's in this.
Yes.
Eric Baza as Chairman Drek. Oh, archive footage. Oh, interesting. There's two Chairman Dreks.
I saw that.
One is archive footage, one is regular voice actor.
Oh, okay.
That's strange. So archive footage would be like
maybe in the past? From the original.
I don't know. That's confusing.
Maybe.
Armin Shimmerman as Dr. Nefarious. Mark Silverman as Victor Von Ion. Christopher Hatfield as Big Al. Sam Riegel as Zed. Travis Willingham as Grimroth. Fred, oh my God, Tadaskior?
Yeah, probably. Something like that.
Felton as Felton Raz, Ali Hillis as computer, and so on and so forth. There's other actors, but yeah, we're getting deep into the mold now.
Yeah, exactly.
voice acting in this game actually really fucking good.
It's really, this is great.
It's way better than you think it would be, and they didn't make the Jack and Daxter mistake where they didn't give Ratchet a voice.
True. Yes.
I really did like that he had a voice because it made him into a person, right?
Yeah.
It makes him likable or unlikable or something.
you having banter between two people just always makes it better.
Yeah, for sure. And it's crazy that games like Jak and Daxter exist where they're like, if we have the silent protagonist, then we never have to worry about paying a voice actor. Like, that's just silly.
Yeah.
Characters grow based on how they're perceived through their own voice, and you can read into what they're doing because I guess you're the character, and they're like, well, you're the voice. But I really don't like that idea. Certain games it works, other games not so much.
Yeah, I mean, there's tons of games where the silent protagonist is a great thing. I mean,
yeah. Zelda. Elder Scrolls, every Elder Scrolls game works fine. Zelda works fine.
I don't necessarily call, like, Elder Scrolls and stuff voiceless ones, only because you still have...
You have dialogue options.
Dialogue.
Yeah, but like, you're choosing the dialogue, you know, so that's the difference.
But I mean, like, the voiceless ones for me are the ones that actually have no dialogue, no
vocal. Okay, that's fair.
So, like, Doom Guy from Doom and stuff like that. Yeah.
Didn't they end up giving him a voice in the newer games?
I don't think so.
I can't remember. I know it turns out he's always dead or something, but I don't know.
Yeah, so it's like a time loop, like Mars to Hell, to Mars to Hell, or whatever. Like, I don't even know. It's
fucking
weird.
Stupid. Doom got really dumb after a while. But yeah, voice acting in this game, honestly, some of the best voice acting you will get in a game.
Yeah, it was really perfect. Great.
Yeah, nothing wrong with it at all. Everyone sounded very believable. No weird, like, we picked this guy up from outside and threw him in a booth kind of thing going on in this game.
Well, and there is really some, like, charming moments, some really good, just like funny moments. There's plenty of times, like, I really like Quark's voice a lot.
Yeah, for sure. Quark did a great job in this.
He's probably my favorite.
He's just like, he's like the douchey,
he's like the Crimson Chin if he was a douche.
Yeah. Well, he's like the Crimson Chin after he becomes famous and stops caring about actually doing things.
That's true. Yeah,
because I'm sure everything, like, it was hard to tell whether he was always that way or if at one point he was
true.
A hero.
Yeah.
But I'm guessing at one point he was a hero and then he kind of fucked it all up by getting too famous.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's fair.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, nothing too much to say about the voice or the music. Everything was just great. No complaints on my side.
Same.
All right, next move on.
Yeah.
How does it play?
All right, to the gameplay and mechanics, where I feel like the meat of this game is.
Yeah, for sure. I will say this is not like other games where the mechanics really win the game for me. The story was okay too, but the mechanics did fucking do a lot for me in this game. They are so much better than Jak and Daxter.
Yes.
I'm surprised that Jak and Daxter even had a chance at calling itself a good game after Ratchet and Clank came out. That is fucking crazy.
Yeah, and all of these like adventure games and stuff, I felt like Ratchet and Clank and Spyro were always top of the games for
me. But I would even argue Spyro's worse than Ratchet and Clank.
Fair, honestly.
And it's only because Ratchet and Clank has a little mini RPG system built into it, which is...
Yeah.
Like, and I don't know if that was in the original or not, but it's definitely in this one,
not
and it's really
much.
Good.
Yeah.
Basically, the meat of this gameplay is you have a melee weapon to start out, but after a little while, you get a bunch of different guns.
Yes.
And it's a lot of guns. It's like I don't know, 10 guns, I think.
If not more, yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe 12, 15. I don't even know.
Not 15. Probably 12 at max, but I think 10.
Yeah.
But each gun has its own little RPG element where you can upgrade it all the way to level 5 by killing things with it.
Yep.
And when it gets to level 5, you unlock all these abilities by using these special collectible shards that you find on the ground or by killing enemies. It's just interesting that they did that because this doesn't seem like the kind of game that would have that.
Yeah, the original, it auto-upgraded your guns for you. You didn't get to pick your upgrades. So this one allowed you to, like, if you wanted more ammo, you could pick more ammo. If you wanted more... accuracy or more less recoil, things like that,
damage and stuff. Yeah, I mean,
area of effect. Yeah,
I would say right off the bat I would have preferred them just do an auto, because it's not like they had a tree.
True.
You could unlock every ability on the map by just upgrading it to level 5, so I guess I don't understand the point in you picking which way it goes. Just I auto upgrade.
Well, I mean, you still have to pay for it. Like, you you get access to more of the map the more you level it up, but you still have to pay for all the upgrades inside of the guns.
I know, but then just have like a flat rate to upgrade 1 through 5.
I mean, fair, but I mean, I think the choice of it was mainly you get to pick which guns you want to upgrade, and you get to pick if you want to upgrade like a couple all the way, if you want to do like some of them part of the way.
Yeah. Yeah, and it was, it's just interesting. I would have preferred just not having to worry about it because I didn't even look at half of them. I just, you know, bought them and moved on.
Oh, okay.
Kind of deal. I didn't really care about what the upgrade was because the gun was doing more no matter what I picked.
Yeah.
So, but the upgrade system did, it made the game more fun and more tangible for later in the game. Like, enemies don't just get harder and you have no way to combat that harder enemy.
Yeah, no, I do like that the difficulty doesn't really, like, scale.
Yeah.
It gets more enemies and harder enemies and stuff, but the enemies don't actually, like, scale with you by any means, so...
Yeah.
It's always really nice. But, I mean, I do love how different the guns feel from beginning to max level.
It's like, amazing.
My favorite gun isn't even a gun, it's the pulse grenade shit.
Oh, yeah, that thing was so
cool. Oh, my
cool.
God. If you upgrade that thing all the way, you can clear an entire room with two of those pulse grenades. It's ridiculous.
Yep, one shot a lot of things and three shot a lot of things. Throw two down on a boss and just watch him fuck him up.
It's so great, especially because you get the lightning coils and stuff that go out of it. It's pulling them in. It's doing all this shit. Like, it's so cool. All the different upgrades you can do for these things, like even like the Groovitron upgrades are fun.
Yeah. I didn't use the Groovitron a lot. That's just a grenade that you throw that makes them dance. So each gun is different. You have a base gun that's just like your assault rifle kind of deal.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, upgrades damage and stuff. You stop using that after a while, I think, and you pick another gun pretty much. Shotgun that digitizes people, which
that
is
was
really
fun.
Weird.
It puts it back in the old school graphics of the game. The characters.
It does?
Yeah, so
it digitizes them.
It digitizes them with a like older graphic version of that character.
Oh,
like,
yeah. Well, we're talking about when you say older graphic, this is like early 80s graphics.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you're saying of the game.
I see how I said it made it sound like it came from the original.
I was like, there's no way it looked this bad back in the first one. Holy shit.
It could have. I mean, it was early 90s, I believe.
No. Ratchet & Clank came out in 2002.
Oh,
yeah,
never mind
it was
then.
A year after, or not quite a year after Jack and
I was so young, all of those games came out at the same time.
Yeah. But yeah, the it turns them into 8-bit characters, and you can basically blow them up as 8-bit characters, which is interesting.
Yeah.
Then there's a sheep gun that turns things into sheep, which I thought was funny. Like, there's a lot of fun guns in this game, and that really did make the gameplay more fun. The one thing I will say about the combat in this game, I really wish that the melee got the same upgrades as the guns did.
Yeah, because the only thing you can do is throw your melee weapon at one point. But that's the only upgrade you get. You get an upgrade in damage at one point.
Yeah. But I just, after you get your first gun or your second gun, you never use your melee again.
I used it sometimes, but not as much, yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of cool upgrades in this game that you get too. You get like a jet pack at one point, thruster pack. You get I don't even know what to fucking call it. It's that thing that lets you hop across big distances or lets you jump a little bit higher.
Oh, yeah, I don't even remember.
It's like a little helicopter thingy on Clank.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's just really
the
old school.
The gyrocopter upgrade, yeah, but which then you do like a jet upgrade to him, so you can just like fly
thruster
as
pack.
Thruster pack, and then you the mag boots upgrade.
Yep. Which is the mag boots? It seems like it was completely optional to find.
Yeah, and then the grind boots as well.
What were the? Oh yeah, the grind boot, but those weren't optional. You had to find.
No,
those.
You had to find those. Yeah.
The mag boots, I think, were optional because I remember being like, "Really? This is." Because I chose
I think
a random...
it's all optional.
Yeah, when you go to the area, I chose a random direction, and I found the mag boots, and I'm like, oh. I guess this isn't the way to the boss.
I know there's a bunch of secrets and upgrades you can't get unless you have the mag boots, but I don't think there's anything story-driven with the mag boots.
Yeah,
no, there is.
Is
towards
there?
The end.
On
the ship,
planet.
You have to use the mag boots.
No, remember on the planet, too, where you're with what's-her-name? And you have to get past the turrets.
There's also on the ship at the end when you're impersonating Quark, you have to use the mag boots too.
So well, then, at some point you had to get them, but yeah, the upgrades in this game are really cool. Combat's really cool. Movement's pretty normal. You get a double jump right off the bat, which I liked a lot.
You can swim and dive, which is something that's not always present in these games.
Yeah, a lot of the time water is death for a lot of games.
Yeah.
But this one, it was good. Although, if you go into certain areas on certain planets, you die from getting eaten by fish.
Yeah.
So.
You got a jump higher ability with Clank once you get like the helicopter or the thruster pack.
Yeah, and then you also get a O2 breathable thing for going underwater.
Yeah.
So that was cool, too. This game does feature some hidden stuff. There's these like golden, so basically there's a currency in this game called bolts that you can buy. Yep. And then there's another currency that's golden bolts.
Yep.
Those are like secret items that you can unlock the cheats with, which I ended up finding all before the end of the game. So I just turned on invincibility and turned on.
I didn't even think to look what they unlocked. I have to go back and put on all the cheats. That sounds fun.
I got them because you get the map near the end of the game, too, that shows you everything that's on a map.
Oh, so nice.
Anywhere you go, you find the items on that map, and you can see where all the stuff is. So before I faced the final guy, I just went and collected them all, turned on unlimited ammo, and turned on invincibility.
That was fun. The last boss.
Yep. It's funny that normally they try to hide that until after you beat the game once.
Yeah.
Like, they let you unlock them all after you beat the game, but for some reason they let you unlock it before the final boss, and I was like, okay.
Well, that's awesome. That's even better.
If you're going to let me do that, I'm going to fucking do that.
Right. All right.
Not too much else with gameplay mechanics.
No.
There's no complaints that I really had with this. Mid-game is tough, guys.
Yeah, it is a little bit.
Before you upgrade something all the way to level 5, like, the enemies do get really fucking hard to beat.
Yeah.
And it gets annoying.
The last two bosses are ridiculous. At least the last boss is really hard.
I had no trouble at all.
Well, yeah, you did it unlimited ammo and full no damage.
Man, this is the easiest thing I think I've ever done.
I was so mad because I stayed up late that night trying to finish the game, and I was like, I have like an hour left. And I started at like 11 o'clock, and it was like getting close to like 1 in the morning. I was on like my fourth or fifth try of the boss. I was like, fucking die!
One try.
And I finally beat it.
One try right here. Number one player.
Fuck that last boss.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Maybe that's why they put the invincibility on, I guess.
Probably.
I didn't realize how hard he was because I was just fucking standing still letting him hit me while I just threw shit at him.
That was so annoying. I'll talk about it when we get to the story, but I absolutely love the gun system in this of picking your guns because you have access while in battle of switching out your guns whenever. And you can have a ring of four at once, but you can open up the bigger ring with all your guns and change those four anytime. So it was really cool.
Yeah, and I mean, there's no wrong answer to this. Almost every game does the when you open up your weapon wheel. You freeze time, essentially.
Yeah, I love
that. And that's nice. One thing I didn't like about this game, ammo is really kind of annoying to find.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes it's really plentiful, but it's always plentiful in areas where you don't fight enemies.
True.
And then it's really... because enemies don't drop ammo, guys. You have to find them from special crates.
But, I mean, each one of the maps loops back to, like, the ship area, like,
yeah, so you can always
once or twice. Yeah, so you buy ammo.
You buy ammo, or they just have those things kind of sitting around in places. But it would be nice to have it more, like, just have enemies drop ammo, honestly, because that would be way easier.
Yeah, because it's just in crates. There's some crates that have bolts, some crates that have ammo, some crates that have health, and they're all colored ways, so you know which ones are what. But the ammo ones give you random ammo. So it could give you ammo for a gun you haven't used and have full ammo on and can't even pick up.
Yep, which is really strange. Normally, you'd have like a smart system where it would only drop ammo that you don't have any of.
Yeah.
And a lot of games do that now, but maybe in 2016 they just decided they didn't want to do that.
I know they didn't have a ton of time to make this game. I know people did talk about crunch time with this game. Like, they didn't give it a lot of development time for making this game because they wanted it to come out with the movie.
Well, that's stupid.
Yeah.
Have you ever went and seen a movie and said, I need to buy the game for this? Because I've never done that.
You know, I've tried a lot of movie adaptation games, and I gave up on them a while ago.
But, like, you know what I mean? Like, have you ever actually just went to a movie and said, oh, my God, that movie was so good, I better buy the game they made? Like, I've literally never heard anyone who's done that.
It just doesn't happen. Like, there's not a lot of movie tie-in games, and a lot of times they come in after. Like, this one came in at the same time, which is just weird. I don't know why.
It's like, why are you trying to market the game with the movie?
Yeah.
I guess it's confusing, but maybe it's because it was originally a game, and they're thinking, well, it's going to cause some nostalgia, and some grown-ups are now going to buy it that played it when they were kids.
And they'll take their kids to the movie, and then the kids will want to play it and get in love with the characters and buy their plushies and play the game and do this.
That sounds like a very personal response, Steven.
Buy the plushies?
No. Yeah, you.
What?
Buying the plushies. They're all behind him.
No, they're in the other room.
They're in his anus.
They're in the living room right next to the TV where we can look at them all the time.
Dude, you call your anus some weird things.
You call my anus some weird things.
The living room next to the TV. That's oddly specific.
Yeah, so we can see them all the time. I only have like 15, 20 plushies. That's not that bad.
That's weird. But the gameplay was good. There's not a lot of remarks I'm going to say that are bad. Just the one thing I wish, more ammo would have been nice throughout the game.
Yeah, for sure.
One thing that's cool about this that I really wish they would have expanded to other areas in this is a jetpack.
Yeah.
You get this jetpack and you get one level where you get to use it. And that's it. There's no other level. You get to use it on like parts of select levels.
Yes. But you get to use it at the end again.
Yeah. Which like it turns it into a mega jetpack for some reason during these parts where you have to fight a boss using it. It goes through fuel like 3 times slower.
Yeah.
And I'm like, fuck
which
you.
Is nice. Thank you for that, because that would be annoying.
Just give us a jetpack everywhere.
Or just give us an unlimited jetpack.
Yeah, honestly. One or the other.
Yeah.
Other than the small things, this game is really good gameplay-wise, I would say.
Yeah, I absolutely love the gameplay, so.
Yeah. All right, well, let's just move on.
It's time for reviews.
All right, now it's that part of the show where we go over some of your guys' review and see if you are a little bitch boy like we are, or if you are valid in your arguments or excuses for why you hate or like the game.
Or why you hate or like Steven.
I know it's hate. Don't lie.
It's all hate.
Only two people in this world love me.
Only two. One of them's me.
Yep. All right. So we're going to start us off with a negative review. This is a 2 out of 10. Just play the original.
Okay.
Gameplay-wise, this game is nigh identical to the original.
Nigh
identical, yeah.
So he meant not, right?
I think so.
This game is nigh identical.
Or it is very much identical, only with with a third of the levels missing. Okay. This combined with the fact that the game has been bled dry of the heart and soul of the original and just turned into a most generic by-the-book game imaginable. Hell, why did they even replace all the music with generic action movie score? Means that the game is inferior in almost every way to the PS2 original. I only miss out on a 1 out of 10 by making the hoverboard sections more fun and fleshed out and having more quality of life additions that aren't in the original. Just play the original. You'll have a much better experience overall. The number of people I've seen praising the game I consider to be an insult to the franchise.
Okay.
Yeah.
This guy's really serious about Ratchet and Clank.
Yeah. I mean, what? It's been since I was a very young kid that I've played the original. So I don't remember it, but I really enjoyed both.
I will tell you right now, it's nigh identical.
With only a third of the levels missing. All right, this is a 5 out of 10. Dialogue being way too active all the time. It looks amazing at 60 frames a second on my PS5. It is a marvel. When you think about how little time they were given to make this game, but they are working with the framework that is the movie that is not a good story, and the game has a problem with the dialogue being way too active all the time. The gameplay is fine, Ratchet and Clank. Gameplay, I will say that it certainly isn't bad, but I have played this before. I love the original so much that I keep getting reminded of it, so I just keep getting sad by playing this opposed to the original. The story is my biggest problem, with the story of the main characters that are way too nice to each other and friendly, but the most because I played the original where they were kind of assholes to each other, and I kind of like that. I didn't enjoy it, but maybe you will.
Okay, that's a good review.
Yeah. Alrighty, this one's an 8 out of 10. This game has all the hallmarks of the series and all the creative and technical talent as well. It's a joy to play and the settings are creative. There's a constant sense of humor and the weapons are really fun to use and upgrade. However, the story is lacking in some charm and the characters are not so memorable. There is some variety in the form of Clank sequences, hover ship battles, and hoverboard races, but I still found this game a bit more repetitive and tedious than their other installments.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, none of these are, like, terribly bad? Terribly bitchy?
No. Honestly, there's a lot more, like, tamed reviews on this one for some reason.
For sure. Strange.
Yeah. Pros, interesting characters, great fast-paced gameplay, good arsenal of weaponry, bright and colorful soundtracks and graphics, some good boss fights. Cons, forgettable story, nothing that really stands out.
Okay. Not terrible.
Ratchet and Clank.
It'd be funny if he said cons, no tits.
Fair.
It'd be good.
Ratchet and Clank is a pure joy to play. Everything works in the game amazingly great. Graphics are gorgeous. Gameplay mechanics are terrific. And the whole world is just a joy to explore. I like the simple story inevitably told. I've started to play this game for a second time on the challenge mode, and I know I'm done. I'm going to do everything in here. Ratchet and Clank is pure joy that is hard to let go.
All right. Yeah. So it sounds like a lot of people like it. They just like the original better.
Yeah, people are either huge stands for the original and say this one's an insult and no one should even touch this or see it or praise it in any way. Others are like the original's way better, but you can like it if you want. And then there's just a lot of people like, this is amazing.
Yeah.
It's one of those three options.
Okay, well, no fair. Let's just move on then.
But yeah.
It's story time. Let's get started.
All right, Scott, read us a story.
Okay. Story time. I'm
gonna put it Yay!
All right. Prisoner. I love the name of the prisoner, by the way. And also, before I read this story, just so you guys know, there's some other things in there that I forgot to talk about in gameplay. They do, like, ship-to-ship battles.
Oh, yeah.
It's just one sequence of them, and it's kind of fun. It's not great, but it's not bad. And then he talked about the hoverboard in the review. There is, like, races in here that are really easy to do.
Yeah.
So, not too bad. It's nothing amazing, but I just wanted to give it a fair mention.
Fair.
All right, so prisoner Shiv Helix, that's a great fucking name, Shiv.
Yes, it is.
Is being moved to a joint cell with a newly imprisoned Captain Quark, former commander of the legendary Galactic Rangers. As Shiv happens to be a huge fan of Quark, he reveals that a holo game is being made based on his last adventure. Eager for attention, Quark agrees to tell Shiv his side of the story. On planet Velden, Ratchet, a young Lombax, and there must be something with Lombaxes, by the way.
Yeah.
They make a big deal about them, but they never really say why.
Yeah, I don't know. Because he's like, no one ever really sees Lombaxes. I guess that they're like rare, because everyone makes it seem like they're rare, and then that he's so talented for a Lombax as well.
Like they're rare and lame or something?
Yeah, maybe.
A young Lombax who works as a mechanic dreams of joining the Rangers. Despite passing all of their tests with flying colors, the Rangers refuse to accept him after learning of his criminal past. Meanwhile, in a factory on planet Quartu, Chairman Alonzo Drek, of the Blarg oversees the construction of a mechanical army with his ally, Dr. Nefarious, an evil scientist who was presumed dead after his defeat at the hands of the Rangers. However, a defective warbot manages to escape using a stolen ship. After the ship crashes on Veldon, Ratchet rescues the defective bot, who explains that he needs to warn the Galactic Rangers of Drex's plans. Ratchet names him Clank and offers to take him to the Rangers' headquarters on planet Kerwan. I think they pronounced it Kerwin in the game, but it's definitely an A in there, which is strange. Yeah, Traveling to Kerwin, they discover that Drek and his Blarg soldiers have already invaded the planet. The duo successfully foil an attempt by the invaders to destroy the Hall of Heroes by ramming it with a train loaded with explosives. As a reward for their assistance, Quark reluctantly allows them to join the Rangers. As new Rangers, the duo lead many successful operations against the Blarg, but the insecure Quark soon becomes jealous of Ratchet, whose popularity starts to overshadow his own fame. Quark calls a meeting of the Rangers to organize a direct assault on Quartu. The assault is successful, and the Rangers learn from Drex's files that the Blarg's true plan is to use the Deplanetizer, a weapon space station created by Nefarious to destroy several planets so that he can harvest their remains and build a new home world for his people.
Death Star.
Yep, pretty much. Learning that the next target is Novalis, Quark leaves and personally negotiates with Drek while the other Rangers battle his forces outside the station. During the fighting, Ratchet enters the Deplanetizer and tries to shut it down, but Drek captures him. While being dragged away, Ratchet discovers that Quark has been secretly feeding information to Drek and that he and Nefarious anticipated the attack. Drek then seals Ratchet in an escape pod and ejects him into space as the Rangers witness the destruction of Novalis. For several weeks, the Rangers, demoralized by Quark's betrayal, refuse to move against Drek. Ridden with guilt, Ratchet returns to Veldum and decides to quit. Clank urges him to reconsider, having identified Drek's final target, planet Umbris. Clank reveals that Umbris' destruction will destroy countless other worlds due to rare orbital convergence. Ratchet deduces that Nefarious planned this from the beginning, angered by his defeat at the hands of the Rangers. Nefarious has been manipulating Drek, intending to wipe out the entire galaxy, which is a weird move, but okay.
Yeah.
with his confidence restored, Ratchet rejoins the Rangers and heads to planet Kalibo 3, where he obtains a holo guise after winning a race championship. Using the holo guise, Ratchet impersonates Quark and infiltrates the Deplanetizer. He and Clank plan to remove the gravity stabilizer used to hold the Deplanetizer over its target so that the Rangers can use high-powered magnets to drag it away from the Umbris and prevent the planet's destruction. An increasingly disillusioned Quark confronts Drek for breaking his promise to spare the Rangers. Nefarious arrives and mocks Quark for his treason before sending him away and betrays Drek by turning him into a sheep and ejecting him into space. Yeah. Meanwhile, dude. Ratchet successfully removes the gravity stabilizer and defeats Quark in a one-on-one battle. Realizing the error of his way, Quark names Ratchet as the new commander of the Rangers. Before they can arrest Nefarious, the Doctor shoots at them and attempts to fire the Deplanetizer. The Rangers deploy the magnets and drag the Deplanetizer sideways, causing him to miss. Enraged, Nefarious, now piloting his personal battle mech, flies to the nearby dwarf star, with the intention of triggering a supernova that'll end all life in the galaxy. Ratchet destroys the mech and knocks it into the star, resulting in Nefarious's death. With the Deplanetizer disintegrated from the heat of Umbris' atmosphere, Ratchet, Clank, and Quark use a teleporter to escape just in time. In the present, Quark and Helix are picking up trash near the Hall of Heroes. Quark, looking at the statue of himself, is greeted by Ratchet and Clank. Seizing the opportunity, Helix steals a gun, destroys several patrol bots, hijacks Ratchet's ship, and escapes as a duo. As the duo prepares to go after him, Ratchet asks Quark if he would like to come along, which he gladly accepts.
Yay.
Now, I will say this story is super contrived and super lame.
Yes, it is.
Like, it's honestly okay. It's not terrible, but it's both contrived and lame.
Yes. And the last boss mech suit that Sky was talking about in the story looks like Jimmy Neutron egg villain.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Ship kind of thing.
It didn't look that bad, I thought.
It very much reminded me of the, like, the giant egg thing that Jimmy Neutron had to fight in the arena.
Okay. I mean, so it's still not terrible, but
no.
The game's story just, it feels, it's
all
boring.
Over the place and weird. Yeah,
and it's strange because it's like, you have these high stakes, like this thing that's destroying planets, and then you're like, let's do a holo race to decide who gets the holo guys. And I'm like, or you could just give it to me.
Yeah, because if you don't, the entire, all the planets are gone. Everyone's dead. Like, it's just destroying planets. And, like, there's a point.
It does get confusing, I will say.
The first time the deplanetizer is used, it does destroy the planet. And they kind of just write it off that, oh, thank God we were able to get all 7 trillion people off the planet. Or
it was only 7 million.
Or whatever, yeah. But yeah. Still, I mean, thank God we were able to get 7 million off the planet. And I'm like, holy crap. Like, they're talking about killing these giant amount of people and stuff like that, but then it's just always like, oh,
I kind of wish they would have. I kind of wish they would have killed all those people. I would have been like, oh, the stakes just got so much higher.
Seriously, though.
And also, how the hell did they get 7 million people off the planet that quick?
That's what I'm also wondering.
They really didn't show a lot of huge-ass ships, so they would have had, like, thousands of ships just...
Unless they did some sort of crazy ass beam me up Scotty kind of shit,
or like a teleporter.
All 7 million of them.
Yeah, it's they go into weird directions in this game, and that doesn't, it puts like the consequences of the game out of mind, out of sight, out of mind kind of deal. There's no rush to get anything done in this game, which is
no
weird.
Yeah, well, it's also because like the pacing of the side missions and stuff seems kind of weird. Because it's like, hey, I can give you a jetpack, but you gotta go find some brains for me.
Yeah, it's like, what are we talking about?
Oh, okay, now you found those brains, you want to find another 60 brains?
What
and
about
I'll give
another
you a different upgrade?
Yeah, and the other upgrade you get from doing that is lame.
Yeah.
I can't remember what it was, but I remember being like, oh, what? I did this for nothing?
Seriously, and it took me a while to get all those.
So I did it before I got the map, but if you would have gotten the map, you would have been able to see them on the map.
Yeah, that would have been nice.
Yeah,
I did it before I got the map too, but
I should have
it took
done
me
it
a
after.
While. There was one that I missed somehow, and I kept on like circling around the entire map and not finding it. And then I was like, oh, fuck me.
It took me a while to find the last one too. It's always the last one that's the hardest.
It's always,
find.
Always.
Yeah, certain things in the story were cool, like the invasion of the Hall of Heroes was really cool. What a really cool level.
Is that the one where you actually like pick up the robots with the magnet on the ship and then shoot?
And shoot the robots at the ship. Like, it's cool. Like, I like that a lot. I just at no point did the story feel really put together, and they're lucky their gameplay was so good. Otherwise, this game would be unplayable.
Yeah, no, for sure. I liked some of the clink sections, but the clink sections where you're running away from someone were just
lame.
The dumbest thing ever. They're so lame. I hate that style of gameplay.
I'm okay with it once or twice, but that last segment of the game
times,
and I'm like,
so
are you
bad
me?
Yes, I was so annoyed. Like, I didn't mind Clink's puzzle levels where he had those like little mini dudes where he had to change what they were, whether a bridge or a springboard or whatever, but like those were kind of fun. But
everything else just felt a little bit not great.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate because this game could have been a lot cooler than it was.
Yeah. And none of the puzzles were ever hard.
Yeah, and that's true. There was one where I fucked it up majorly because I was stupid and I forgot that I could change the robots.
Oh.
So that last puzzle on the deplanetizer, you throw
that
three
one
robot.
Is the hardest one, yeah.
No, it's super easy when you understand that you can change your thing into a jump.
Unless
you forget that you can jump, and then you're trying to just like cheese it up top on this ledge that you can easily jump to.
That's fair. Okay.
I was so dumb. I felt so stupid. I was on there for so long. Like, what do I do here?
Yeah.
Then I kept trying to use the magnet to actually like jump onto it, and that wasn't working. So it was a whole thing.
I kind of wish that pro hoverboarder was in the game more. I kind of liked his character. He was kind of fun.
His character was fun. And it's cool that you got his hoverboard autographed to ride for the hoverboard races.
Yeah.
It's kind of dumb, though. I would have liked them to take out the hoverboard races for this game. I think that would have been okay. They were fun. It's not terrible.
They're okay.
It's just not something in the game that really meant anything.
Yeah. They kind of reminded me of, like, Spyro's kind of, like, sledding races.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or, like, the... Like, everyone hated that race with Mario and Mario 64 against the Penguin.
Oh, yes, yes.
So it's kind of like that. It's just, it's not as hard as that one is, but it's just as annoying. It's just boring. There's no sense to it. It's just in the game to be an extra gameplay element, and that's it.
Yeah, well, and it's weird, too, because, like, there's sometimes, like, I felt like they were, like, I just passed someone, like, right at the end and got first. And then it would still, like, show that they had, like, 10 or 20 seconds slower time. I was like, how is that even possible?
There's a handicap system when you're in the lead, for sure.
Yeah.
I never took lead until the last lap, pretty much.
Yeah, I think on one of them, just because there was a shortcut that on that last one, I got into first in, like, 1.5 or 2 laps, but...
Yeah. But... Yeah, that was story. I would give story. It's like a C story. It's not great. It's not bad. The quirk parts are fun. There's certain elements that are fun, and there's other elements that are just not as fun.
It's super forgettable. You'll forget most people's names. You'll forget most of what happened in the story. You'll forget the planet's names. Like, nothing in here is very memorable.
Yeah.
Which is unfortunate.
They say, characters have amazing, like, legendary statuses as... Like, they did this, they prevented this uprising, they did this. And then you see them in action, like, they did those things? They
seriously, like, okay, sure they did.
It's just boring. It makes the characters less cool when they don't, like, back up their...
Well, and having every other character in the entire world be not even close to Ratchet's level also is kind of weird.
For a brand new space cadet, pretty much.
Yeah. Just comes out and is better than everybody and all of the Rangers.
That's how it works. With all of them. And then they say, no, you're not allowed in here. You have a criminal history.
He does one successful mission and he's the head of the Rangers now.
Yep.
Like, okay, that's crazy.
So clearly there's no real hierarchy in the Rangers.
Yeah, just whoever has the popularity.
Yep. All right, well, that's about it for story. Like I said, probably a C story.
Fair.
Let's move on.
Worth or not.
All right, so what is your final rating of the game?
I think this game is worth.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of cool, fun things in this game that really do make it kind of playable. But in the end, the one thing that really hurts it, I think, is the story. And honestly, just the melee not being that much fun. And middle game, like I said, middle game gets really hard.
Yeah.
And it's kind of annoying for this game. There's like a really good early game and a really good late game, and the middle of the game is just fucking terrible.
And it definitely, the difficulty matters which guns you upgraded.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm sure, like, I could have went back and said, let's try this gun and see how well it did. And I just had no want for that, I guess.
Like, I will say... For the last boss, and this is going to be if the greatest piece of advice, if you do play this game, for the last boss, use the saw blade gun. That thing, if you upgrade that at all against that last boss, shreds the fuck out of them. No other gun goes anywhere near the amount of damage that saw blade gun.
Dude, I had literally no problems with the last boss. No.
Fuck you with your cheating bullshit.
They give you the option, you use it.
I didn't even look to see if there was cheats, honestly.
I was wondering what the point in the gold nuggets were, so I looked at the extras.
I figured it was just going to be like movies or like other different holo card kind of bullshit or whatever.
Yeah.
I didn't
bother with the holo card. We didn't even talk about the holo. There's a whole card collection thing that adds damage or something.
Some add damage, some add your chance to find rarer stuff, some add extra costumes or extra, like, so the gun ones... When you go into challenge mode, you get an upgraded, different version of those guns. So the holo cards matter if you're going to do challenge mode and other things.
Yeah.
But if you're not going to do that, it doesn't
fucking matter. I didn't even go and get that final gun that guy told me about. I think I got all the cards for it. I just didn't actually go and get the gun.
I didn't either. The Rhino gun, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm also going to give this one a whiff. When I was playing through the game, I was enjoying it a lot. I do think the story is insanely forgettable, and that really hurts the rating. And the thing I took away from this is this makes me want to play more Ratchet and Clank games, but different ones. Like,
yeah. Maybe the OG.
Either the OGs or Up Your Arsenal was always one of my favorite ones. And I still haven't played Rift Apart, which I just got it recently, the newest one. So I'm going to try that one out soon.
Okay, nice. Okay, well, that was it. That was our reviews.
Yeah.
So, next yeah, week. Fuck you guys.
Wow.
Go fuck rude. Yourselves.
If you want to, you know, take some time, light some candles, and go fuck yourself.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, do all those
get
things.
Get fully naked.
Make sure you
candles.
Go fuck yourselves.
Yes. To dim the lights. Treat yourself. You know, put some chocolates out. Maybe
treat
have some flower
yourself.
Petals on the bed. You know, make it really romantic. You could treat yourself to a good self-fucking. That's fine.
Yeah. Yeah, next week's game, Hi-Fi Rush. Hi-Fi Rush.
It's a Game Pass game.
It's a what?
It's a Game Pass game. It dropped on Game Pass day one. It also just, I think, might be going on PlayStation soon, or did go on PlayStation recently. I can't remember.
Yeah. It's a game that is a... Shoot, what did you call it? Rhythm-based. I was going to say beat-based.
Yep, rhythm-based action game. Yeah, I don't really know how else to call it, but
I think that fairly sums it up. So.
Yeah, yeah. Can't wait for you guys to listen to that one and play along with us and let us know what you think of it too.
Yeah. All right, guys. We will catch you on the next one. Bye.
Love you.
Okay, I guess.